This episode of Talk of the Devils is sponsored once more by Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform helping you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders phase. Yep, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling ETH style turtleneck sweaters or blueprints for brand new stadiums, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Plus, you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And what's more, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 support is there to help your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Now, because you listen to Talk of the Devils, you can sign up for our $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/reddevils, all in lowercase without any spaces. So go to shopify.com/reddevils to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/reddevils.
The Athletic.
This is Talk of the Devils, the Athletics podcast dedicated to Manchester United. We're coming to you on Sunday evening shortly after 10:30 on a day where somehow Manchester United have managed to make reaching an FA Cup final not feel that joyful. Andy Mitten and Karl Anka are with us. We were supposed to be doing this podcast on Wembley Way after Manchester United had skipped their way through to the FA Cup final by seeing off Championship Coventry, but extra time and penalties saw to that. So I've fought my way home, and you two have fought your way to hotels in London. Carl, how on earth did they make that such hard work? And how on earth can reaching a final feel this bad?
A very odd conclusion to a very odd game. And you're right, I don't really know how to describe this feeling. I've never been more miserable at watching my team win. And things are made worse by the fact that winning that game and the manner in which you won that game doesn't inspire any confidence in me that United can get a result against Manchester City on 25th of May. I'm quite miserable after that. And I shouldn't be miserable because I've just watched my team win another FA Cup semi-final. Why are United like this?
It was just painful, Andy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can't think of another word, really.
Tired is the word what I would like to use about how I'm feeling.
Well, yeah, I'm feeling that.
You know, what time did you get up this morning?
Not as early as you. We've established that, haven't we, on the build-up to this pod.
So can we just establish that I got up before anyone, so I'm allowed to be more tired, and I'm in a worse hotel than anyone. Let's just get that straight right from the start.
The thing that I've got battling with, which I don't normally have recording the podcast, is the fact that I had 8 pints about 8 hours ago and probably just about starting my hangover as I start recording this.
You've got to get some hydration tablets, my friend.
I don't know what I need, but yeah.
You were full of beans this morning. You were like, do you want to meet in the torch, mate? Yeah, come on, mate. What are you doing? What are you doing, man?
Didn't make it to the torch either. Never mind.
Did you not?
No. Never do.
What did you do? Just find a pub and go in there for 8 pints?
Yeah, pretty much. Good. Yeah, and then went
Which
inside
one?
The ground.
That's what you need.
What, Euston Station Pub?
It was next to Marylebone Station. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Good. Yeah.
We had roast lamb. Anyway, no one has tuned in for this, or no one has turned the podcast on for this.
Right. So, in answer to your question,
yeah,
I get what you're feeling. We've got to Wembley, but we've already been to Wembley. We've reached a cup final, but there's a lot of dread because the team were very unconvincing today, coasting at 3-0, and then completely their heads went. Coventry changed the tactics very smartly at half-time, but it's completely unforgivable. And then the final will be against Manchester City. We saw what happened last year. We know the difference between United and City, and it probably just depresses us. And people are thinking they're going to pay 200, 300 quid or whatever to go back to Wembley in a month's time for a probable defeat. And it sounds very defeatist. I actually said to Erik ten Hag after the game, what message would you give to Manchester United fans who were going to the final next month? They know what they saw last year. And he said, you English are obsessed with statistics. Well, I'll give you some. And started outlining his case for beating City and smiling and like, you know, have hope, have faith. And yeah, it's great when your manager thinks like that, but his stock is probably lower than at any point since he took the job.
Yeah, I'm feeling right that now, definitely.
You know, the moderates are turning against him. I'm sure a lot of people wanted to succeed, but he has to take some of the blame because without patronising Coventry, they did really, really well. But Manchester United, you can't be doing that when you're 3-0 up against a team who are, you know, just above the middle of the Championship.
Ian, can I ask?
Yeah.
When Coventry scored their first goal, did you think it could end up 3-3?
No.
Andy?
Did you, Carl?
No.
No.
I didn't, no. Okay.
First goal, I went 3-1. I went, okay, fine. You know, take some gloss off things, but this should be done.
Yeah.
United should be able to ride this out.
But do you know why? Because that actually, to that point, was that their first shot on target? It certainly felt like it if it wasn't actually that. But United actually felt more in control of that match than they felt in control of any match, you know, in probably the second half of the season. And I didn't think Coventry had shown a great deal either. So I didn't feel there was any jeopardy at that point, really, to be honest.
3-2?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I just thought it'd stay at 3-2.
Okay.
Hoyland had a brilliant chance as well, didn't he, just in front of where we were sat at 3-2 to make it 4-2. But it doesn't matter, does it, really? There was people leaving. I'm dead against people leaving matches early, especially when you're at Wembley. But I kind of forgave him in a way today because I think I just felt amongst the support that there was a lot of people who just lost faith in everything today. You know, they lost faith in the team, they lost faith in the manager.
Yeah.
They lost faith in the sense of supporting Manchester United almost for a few moments because it was so bad. And, you know, when the fourth goal went in, which was then disallowed, the look on people's faces and, I don't know, they just should never have ever been in that position at all. I mean, it's embarrassing, isn't it, really, to be honest. Be interested to know how the players felt after the game, because it didn't even feel like they really celebrated other than Anthony doing his thing, which we'll probably talk about.
Yeah.
What did you feel when it was 4-3 Coventry?
Well, we were leaving at that point.
You were going?
Someone ran after. Yeah. Someone ran out and says, offside, it's offside. And then like made our way. Someone said, did you run back to your seat? And absolutely not. Sort of like slowly ambled back towards it just to, you know, like, I don't know. Just not good, was it?
You know, journalist style, deleting 250 words, going, well, that's that down the pan. There are some goals where they happen and you can see you're weak in this job unfurled in front of you. So I went, okay, that's 4-3. That's Coventry winning. Monday meeting is going to be this. Tuesday, I'm going to have to do this. Wednesday, I'm going to have to do this. Boom, 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 boom. And you're going, this is going to be weeks and weeks and weeks of discussion and people using the word crisis and conversation about this person's job and this person's job and this person's suitability for the rest of the season, this person's suitability for the football club. And it got chalked off. And to watch that imminent disaster in front of you and then get repealed away, I had a little deep breath, like, okay, it's not as bad as what it could be. But even then you're going, why is this disaster happened again? Why is this team so prone to making the silliest mistakes on a football field over and over and over again this season? So I did a full-time briefing that came out not long after the result, and Critch is doing his piece. And I said, it didn't feel like the implosions against Galatasaray. It didn't feel like the implosions against Copenhagen, because those were big, discrete moments of disaster, whereas this one felt like the drip, drip, drip water damage of just slowly over time. You're watching Coventry build and build and build, and particularly in the last 10 minutes of regulation time, they're just hammering United's left side. Rashford was not tracking back. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, we know what he's like on 1v1 tackles, but if you attack the space and do 1-2s around him, he's going to be quite naive as well. And if it wasn't for Diogo Dalo on 3 or 4 occasions stopping the cutback cross and knowing, oh, they're trying to pull the cross back to the penalty spot, I'm going to stand here and block it, Coventry could have got a fourth in regulation time. And it is very frustrating seeing a group of players who are so focused on one thing on the football field that they can't seem to address the other issue in front of them. I don't know anymore. There's just a huge gap between the football Ten Hag wants them to play, the football this team is capable of doing, and I can't see that gap being bridged between now and the end of the season. So it's just over and over and over again of mini disaster after mini disaster, and I just felt like how Andy feels. I felt tired.
Yeah, how did I feel? I thought it'd be offside and United would be all right on penalties. He says completely.
Even after Casemiro took his.
Oh my God.
I just found myself like shaking, thinking, I can't actually believe what I'm watching here. So I had to be...
It's like a bad dream almost.
So you normally do the telly stuff, right? So I had to be in the tunnel area before the end of the game. You don't know when the end of the game's going to be, do you? Coventry scored the fourth. I walked down through Coventry fans and my head is just battered because you're thinking, who am I going to speak to? What am I going to ask? And then I see the VAR review thing. Mm-hmm. Part of me thought, there is a chance, but the Coventry end went completely quiet. The VAR ruled against the goal, and then it was into penalty. So I stood in the tunnel. What you're saying about how it affects your week, Carl, I was thinking like that. I didn't have the best week last week. I've been grafting my backside off on a massive 10,000-word piece for The Athletic that's going to probably drop in the morning. If United have won, then people are like, yeah, yeah. And if not, you just, you know, just thought, I can't be doing with all of this. Found myself a bit dazed in extra time watching it.
Very little went in.
just not paying attention. Why are you being like this? And just like, are we this bad? Is this really happening? Then the penalties and when Casemiro's one was saved, you're like, oh no. And you're right, Ian, about people leaving early. There was a lot of empty seats.
Even before the end of normal time?
Yeah, there was. I mean, out of 35,000, what, 2,000, if I'm estimating?
Yeah, it's not half empty, no. Is it? But
you know, a lot of people did leave. Then again, United fans did sell all the tickets for the semi-final. We should mention that. And you're saying, what do the players say? Well, I seen quite a few of them after the game, and their reaction was WTF. That was basically the reaction. That's exactly what it was like. Relief, but how on earth has this even been allowed to happen? I also saw the Coventry players. They were floored. They were outside the United dressing room. They were hoping to swap shirts with the United players. The United players obliged. I saw Harry Maguire talking to a couple of the Coventry players. But yeah, one of the Glazers was there. He went into the dressing room with the directors. And United are going to a cup final. As you say, we all feel like we do. And I'm sure people listening to this feel that way as well, because you can see from reactions, as a defeat ever tasted so bad.
It's so...
As a victory. Yeah, see? Sorry, guys. Yeah, victory.
Yeah, not to get too inside baseball when we talk about, oh, our week would have been XYZ. But I think about this season as a whole and how much time and effort we have put in, an emotional connection we've put into this team, going, ooh, maybe this is a turning point. Ooh, maybe this can fix. I'm sure there's loads of listeners going, it's not just the time and the emotional connection, but also the money. You know, there's a lot of United fans that spent a lot of money to get down to London today to watch their team. And I can imagine they would have been quite disappointed, if not outright infuriated, by some of the decisions United players were making on the ball. And we talked about, you know, Casemiro's penalty decision. He was playing at centre back today. There was a moment, I want to say just past the 11th minute, where he almost skipped out of a challenge against Hazard, and you're going, oh God, this is really bad. And you know, Diogo Dalo scampers back and blocks the tackle to stop it from being a 1v1 against Onana. But you're going, this is not working. This is really concerning. I saw Garnacho miss a connection on the cross. Rashford putting a left foot shot wide off a Casemiro pass as well. Rashford had a particularly poor game, and I think, you know, the United fans let him know what they thought of him when he hobbled off and he walked through the mix zone. He was limping as well, so that's concerning. Just the connection between the fan base and the player right now. But right now, honestly, Manchester United don't feel worth your time. And that's really bad to say as a fan. If you're leaving before full time on a semi-final Wembley, you're essentially saying, this isn't worth my time anymore. This isn't worth me thinking about this so much. And I don't know how you fix that.
I think people were also saying that they don't deserve the support. That was you know, but this is a very emotional stage for a lot of people, obviously, you know, when they are making these sort of comments.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hi guys, it is 3:15 a.m. in Vietnam. I'm currently in Hoi An, which is an ancient trading port, a beautiful place, incredible architecture, fantastic food, you'll be pleased to know, and also a very lively night scene, which is how I was able to watch the United game, which kicked off about 9 p.m. and I'm still just about coming down from it. Yeah, I watched it in an Irish bar on the kind of strip element for the backpackers, and there was some live music, so we didn't have any sound for the game, which probably for the best as the goals were going in. But it was a really good band, actually, you'll be pleased to know. I'm sure the listeners will be intrigued as well. They were doing kind of rock anthem, Careless Whisper, kind of reggae style Adele, and also Take Me Home Country Road, which was very apt at the time. I think United were 3-0 up at that point. And it all felt so straightforward, didn't it? I was watching it. I had Ange with me. I had Sonny asleep on my lap. I was just cradling him. It was all lovely. A couple of cocktails. And then the 70th minute happened. Listen, I'll let you guys get into the details and the opinions of it all, because you were there. You witnessed it firsthand. And you'll have had much better appreciation of it than me. I kind of just think that Ten Hag should be able to take off Garnacho and Maynou, and the performance shouldn't drop that drastically. And yeah, I thought it was done, 4-3. I thought that's a wonderful FA Cup story for Coventry. You kind of couldn't really begrudge them that, because they played so well and had so much character. But ultimately, United squeezed through, thanks to Casemiro's penalty. Yeah, I mean, United, from being 3-0 up, shouldn't need a penalty shootout to get past Coventry. I mean, the celebrations, fair enough, Hoyland, you know, can celebrate the winning penalty. Antony to cup his ears to the Coventry players, no thanks. Anyway, you know, the questions will clearly be on Erik ten Hag, and I know for a lot of people that'll be it. And I think also it does speak to the wider problems at United, you know, for the fact that, I mean, this should be beating Coventry comfortably. I'm not excusing Erik ten Hag or the players there, but it feels like it's also part of a wider scheme of how the club has been run, you know, almost simultaneously micromanagement, but also absenteeism, I think, has created this culture where players feel like there isn't necessarily a, you know, a comeback for bad performances. And ten Hag has tried to address that, but clearly I don't think it's anywhere near the end of that journey yet. So yeah, sorry, a kind of rambling end to this voice note. Hope you can make sense of it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to what you guys think about it all.
Yep, so that was a little voice note diary from our friend Laurie. Thank you for doing that. I don't know why you'd be spoiling your holiday by watching that game, whatever time of day it was in Vietnam. But anyway, thank you for sending that through. Right, let's focus in on a couple of the sort of main talking points really from this afternoon. I mean, we had loads of people getting in touch directly after the game, focusing in, Andy, on the changes that Ten Hag made in game, which has become, obviously, you know, a bit of a talking point of late, and players have not been shy in adding to the debate around this. But Garnacho off, Maynou off, Gerrard got in touch about this, Chris as well, an email. Chris was really strong. Please, please, please do not try and spin this game into anything good. Such a poor performance from United. Words need to be had of Erik ten Hag and his tactical ineptitude. Gerrard said Garnacho off, Maynou off. Again, the team falls apart. I mean, what did you think of the changes that were made in game, and does that have any role to play in the game going from 3-0 to 3-3 in your mind?
I think Coventry's tactical change made more of a difference for the way they just went for it, and it came off for them. I thought Antony was particularly poor when he came on. I thought his ball management was poor. I know that was a concern, and Marcus, as Carl said, didn't have a good game either. There were a couple of times on the transition where Coventry attacked and United's forwards were not pressing to try and win the ball back or putting in a feeble tackle. I don't think any of the substitutes particularly changed the game for Manchester United, whereas I could pick out a couple of the Coventry lads who did make a big difference. The team is running on empty. Well, the defence is, and you're playing Casemiro there, and later on into the game, Casemiro looked like he was pulling a heavy object.
Mm-hmm.
He did, didn't he? So I think it's on the players, and I think it's on the manager as well. The manager can be frustrated with the players, but the manager's the manager. The manager's going to take the heat when we see what happens like happened today. United really struggled to get a result over the line. United have not won any of the last four matches. This is repeat behaviour. It's concerning behaviour. To be fair, 8 out of 10 wins before that bad run. But we sort of sense with dread as the game comes to a close that the other team are going to score. Because they usually do. Is it a physical thing? Don't really think so. There's not been that enough games to be physical. Is it a mental thing? Yeah. I think it is a mental thing. And I think there's a momentum when you're 3-0 and suddenly it's 3-2. You start to wobble a bit. I think it's human nature. I think the fans were wobbling a bit. As you said, some of them went home. So, yeah, there were times when Anthony could have just taken the ball out into the corner, but he cuts in on the wrong side. And I know that's an issue.
3-0 up in FA Cup semi-final in the match discussion page on The Athletic and said, would you use this opportunity to blood some of the youngsters? Because it genuinely felt, after the third goal, past an hour mark, going, this is a great opportunity to give Omari Forson some game time. A great opportunity to get some younger players in. And just a bizarre collapse. United did seem really more controlled in the first 10 to 15 minutes. They were playing. There was a goal kick Coventry had where they tried to build out from the back. And they were in a really good, well-structured 4-3-3. I could see Dalot yelling at Fernandez and making sure everyone was stood in their correct places. And you know, Fernandez was yelling at the front three to make sure you block off passes into the wing backs. And when the ball did come through, Garnacho immediately managed to force a throw in. And this was good United at the start. But then after, when you take Garnacho off, you lose his just stubborn-minded running. And that's really important if you need an out ball when you're under pressure. But also, even when he's not, you know, he's not the biggest and not necessarily the best presser, but he does keep going. And perhaps, you know, I'm sure Ten Hag will go, we were 3-0 up. Why wouldn't I take Garnacho off? I want to save him for the weekend and the midweek game against Sheffield United. Why wouldn't I want to give him a couple more minutes? But, and it's that horrible thing of, because they've been, it's hard to say what the correct sub is when so many of your better options are injured.
The other thing as well, almost if you're 3-0 up, you know, they've been playing the way they've played. In a way, it shouldn't matter who you take off, in a sense. You know, you could take your best performers off. It should still be enough to be able to see out the game in that position with United being as dominant as they were. I mean, granted, obviously, the substitutions have been an issue of late. And obviously, Garnacho's ended up apologising, according to Erik ten Hag, for liking, you know, tweets that were questioning his decision-making in recent times. I mean, where do you think this result leaves Ten Hag, Andy, overall?
In a worse place than before the game, even though United have triumphed. There's fan sentiment, but the fans aren't, they'll influence the decision, but they're not making the decision. The people making the decision will be Omar Bereda, Dan Ashworth, officially or unofficially, in collaboration with Dave Brailsford, Jim Ratcliffe, who ran the marathon today. Well done for that.
Avoided cones. Congratulations on that.
Ooh, come on, mate.
So I don't think a decision's been made, even now, that the evidence is piling up, and the lack of support from Ineos for Erik ten Hag is quite telling.
He caught a very interesting figure in his post-game press conference. So Andy was in the mix zone and I was in the post-match. And ten Hag was asked whether or not he could see that a number of fans were embarrassed by the manner of the victory. And he said, no, he doesn't. He said, I don't see the embarrassment. He said, he'd much rather focus on the achievement. And he says, you know, in the last decade, United had made 3 FA Cup finals and now they've got back-to-back FA Cup finals. And he'd much rather prefer to focus on that. I can't go for that argument. Because I'm looking at all of our faces and we all look miserable and this podcast has been pretty downbeat. Come on, Andy, tell me a story about travelling the world that can cheer me up.
I was in the flash zone, mate, not the mix zone. There's an important difference. When you're in the flash zone, you see how the other half lives. You see how Ian lives on a weekly basis. That's where the players come to you because they want to talk to you. The mix zone is a scramble. Because they have to.
Yeah.
Because money's changed hands.
Yeah.
The mix zone is where you're scrambling. Excuse me, can I talk? No, they don't want to talk to you.
But you had a chat with Onana, right?
I had a chat with Onana, told me about his bag of tricks, which he reckons won the penalties. Yeah, what are they then? Not telling you. Go on. No, who else knows about him? My teammates. I spoke to Eric as well. I do think, in fairness, they should have some credit for reaching the final.
Mm-hmm.
I know the run, you know, Wigan-Newport wasn't the most challenging. Forest away, Liverpool win has been the highlight of it.
I don't think anyone is questioning the achievement of reaching back-to-back cup finals. Overall, on whole across the two seasons, it is excellent to do that. It's just the manner of it today, isn't it? That's why.
Yeah, it was awful. No, it was. And what comes next? You know, if Chelsea would have been City, I do think we'd feel different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Manchester United play Manchester City, they'd probably win 7 and there'd be 1 draw and 2 wins for United. Something like that. It's not exact, is it? And your point about which player is going to be back. Because we keep thinking, and we thought this whole season, that next month's going to somehow be a bit better. But it's never got better. It's tiny, tiny little bits. I tell you what, Erik ten Hag did mention again to me after the Arsenal game in September.
He did. He did it again.
He mentioned it. Mentioned it again.
In what context? Showing that they can play at a high level.
I think take the game to a top team and as the players to do that. And it's, you've made the point about the money, about the final. We saw what it was like last year. And I think fans will be going to that cup final feeling less optimistic than they ever have done for a cup final. Then again, when have I felt like that this season? Liverpool away in December. Liverpool at home. The two games against Manchester City. So it doesn't always fully work out as you think. I'm trying to be a bit positive. Maguire's header was fantastic.
Brilliant.
And
brilliant.
Run it. And the cross from, was it from Delo to McTominay for the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Totally right about Bruno. Without him, the team would be even more flummoxed than they are. Keeps trying things, doesn't he? Worried a bit about Hoyland. Think he's gone right off the boil. Don't know why. Since, what, Luton? A couple of months back?
Since the last injury, actually. What did you make of the all this sort of celebration or non-celebration with the penalty shootout win? So we had Hoyland scoring and looking like he's running off on his own and not really many people joining him. We had Anthony cupping his ears at the Coventry players. We had several players just going to shake their hands and that was about it. I mean, Andy, what did you make of all of that?
I didn't see any of it because my view was obstructed by the Manchester United coaches and security right in front of me. So I've only pieced it all back together.
Yeah.
I did laugh at the picture of Anthony. I just thought, if you're a Coventry player, you just want to smack him, wouldn't you? Going past you like that. It's just pure street shithousery. Look, you can't tell someone how to celebrate or not to celebrate. It's got to be a natural reaction.
Are we the celebration police here? Or am I the celebration
police? If they want to
I was quite embarrassed by that. So yeah, I saw Anthony cup his ears and run backwards away from the Coventry players and Maguire shake hands and going, okay, yep, I can see why one player is the former club captain and one player is the controversial hothead, shall we say. And you know, by the time everyone came to terms with the result, I took a photograph and a video of Wembley Stadium and genuinely, if you gave that to a complete stranger or to an alien and went pick which team had won that game and pick which team had lost, if you didn't know about it, you'd probably say, oh, the blue team, they're the really happy ones. They're the excitable ones about how that game just ended, because United just looked downtrodden. And Ten Hag said, we got away with that one. Bruno Fernandes, in his interview, said, you know, it was disappointing performance, but what's the most important, we got over the line. And that's just the sentiment that loads of players went. I don't think United players want to celebrate too much, because they understand the manner in which they got to that finish was quite disappointing and deflating for the fans watching.
What was Mark Robbins like, Carl?
He was really, really good. He used it is what it is two or three times when he was asked about the VAR offside, and he said it's one of them. And he said, you know, Coventry were close to going up last season, and they learned, you know, football keeps going. And if you don't get the result one day, then you have to keep working and getting the result. I asked him about Sims getting the goal to take him up to sixth goal in the FA Cup. And I said, you know, he's a player that, how's he developed? And he gave a really interesting answer. He said, Sims had a slow start in Coventry, and it was really hard. And he said, for young players, especially with social media being the negative place it is, it can be really, really difficult. And he said his advice to young players is, you know, don't go on it at all. But he said to Sims, the harder he works, the better he looks, and he gets more confident, and he's reaping the rewards of working hard, getting the game time, and being more confident.
Is he on a Sims? He's from Oldham. I don't know if there's a United link or not, because he was at Everton's academy, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching him play at Goodison against United, and he looked nowhere near the level that he showed on Sunday. So yeah, it is a sign of good coaching, and Robbins had a very matter of fact, it is what it is, way of speaking, and saying Coventry will just keep going and he'll keep building this project, and momentary setbacks are just momentary setbacks, because he believes that they will come good eventually.
So another Mark Robbins related thing from today was that when my dad spoke to my mum, because I went to the game with my dad, spoke to my mum after the game for the debrief, the very first thing that my mum said was, well, that was payback that this afternoon for Mark Robbins not allowing my son, i.e. me, as a 6 or 7 year old to score a penalty in a charity penalty shootout at my primary school summer fete or summer party, whatever you'd call it. Apparently I took several penalties and he insisted on saving them all. My mum has never forgotten that. So basically today was revenge.
Talking about where people are from, I was stood on Wembley Way waiting for a lad who'd cycled from Mongolia like you do.
Wazza.
And Wazza, he cycled. I mean, that's crazy.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? From Mongolia.
And I'm waiting for him, and I hear some Coventry fans go, all the Man United fans are tourists. None of them are even from Manchester. So I went, I am. Yeah, saw me mates. Yeah. And I think he was a bit taken aback by this. So suddenly I'm arguing with 4 Coventry fans. So I think you've got to wait hard. You've got to go in there hard. One of the 9,000, were you, from 5 years ago? And then I realised that the lad who's made the comment is like 17 and he's a kid. And his dad realises straight away that his son probably got a bit over-eager because he's had 8 pints in a pub in Marylebone. I don't know. And they were actually really lovely. And he goes, well, you're from Manchester, yeah? Yeah, said it's a big city actually, and loads of people from there support Manchester United. You from Coventry, lads? Yeah, we are. Where were you 5 years ago? One of the 300 at Bury, were you in 2017? They were sound. They were absolutely sound.
They were brilliant.
Yeah, every Coventry fan I spoke to was nice. And, you know, we moan when we go down to 7th or 8th. Imagine what it's like going down to 4th division. Imagine what it's like if you get locked out your own ground and you have to move away and play your games in Northampton or Birmingham. Imagine what it's like if you fear for the existence of your team. This isn't being petulant because you're not scoring enough goals. This has happened to Coventry City. It is an amazing story, and they won't really appreciate it hearing it today from Manchester United fans, but it does still stand. As for the lad from Mongolia, yeah, 11 months.
It's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? He was at work in the office a few weeks ago.
Because he arrived 2 weeks ago, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that's right.
He got into England the day of the Chelsea away game.
Yeah, that's right. That's when it was. Because, Nemanja Vidic was in work at the time, and they met each other, and his head nearly fell off when he met Vidic. And Vidic's head nearly fell off when he found out that the lad had cycled from Mongolia all the way to the UK. Unbelievable. Yeah.
That would be like, obviously, something that very few humans are going to do. But for Vidic, right, anything which involves getting off his sofa is like a massive effort. So it couldn't be more opposite.
Yeah.
Because if you said to him, like, do you want to do a sponsored 1 kilometer walk for £2 million? Nah, you're all right. So that's just complete opposite, sir.
Yeah. And didn't the lad get the nickname of Wazza because the shape of his path from Mongolia to the UK has been one big W? Is that right?
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it's because he loved Wayne Rooney.
Well, he does love Wayne Rooney. I can vouch for that. But I think his path was one big W as well. I mean, he showed me some of the pictures of the places that he'd been on the cycle. It's just absolutely mind-blowing.
Oh, I've been following him. And he told me a few months back how beautiful Iran was. And I just thought, if there's more humans like this, it sounds all very lovey-dovey, but he just said I met wonderful people along the way and had very few mishaps. You know, when people do these massive things and things go wrong, like, you know, I ran across Africa or I ran from the moon and, like, I got shot at by armed bandits. I find it quite refreshing that he said, yeah, didn't really have any problems.
Or he's just cycled all the way through.
He did have a problem getting a visa for Great Britain, but that's basically about it. Just said he met lovely people right across the world. And Central Asia was beautiful. He has made me want to go to Central Asia. And the way that he's doing 100 kilometers a day. And it came out of, he didn't just one day decide he's going to cycle to Old Trafford. He's still not got a ticket, by the way, for the Burnley game at the weekend. And that's when he's going to finally hit Old Trafford. It's because his career fell apart as a footballer. He was a very good footballer, first division in Mongolia. He got scammed by agents promising him the world, and I just think he needed to clear his head. So whereas some people walk around the block or walk the dog, he just cycled to the other side of the world.
As you do. Right, I think we're going to leave it there. I don't know how much of that match we've managed to make sense of, to be honest, or the situation for Manchester United, but I hope you guys listening understand that we've tried our best to bring our thoughts together this evening after what's been a very long day and a very weird football match as well. But we do have an FA Cup final to look forward to. Thank you for your company and listening as always. And thank you for all the lovely comments at Wembley today that it sounds like all three of us have received from different people. We love to hear that you're enjoying the podcast. So thank you very much for that. Andy and Carl, I'll leave you to your hotel rooms and we'll be back later on in the week and see what weird and wonderful thing may have happened by then. But thank you for your company as always, and we'll see you on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Athletic.